specific cuts. One, the food subsidies. Two, the National Health Service. And I was asking whether they were mentioned at the conference. Surely you don't have to frame a detailed policy in order to mention to people the kind of sacrifices that would be entailed.
Well, they were if they weren't mentioned specifically in speeches, I can't remember exactly. They were very much mentioned in a book called One Nation, which I expect Michael Foot has read. That's just been published by 9 Tory backbenchers, and which meets with very great approval in the party. But I'd like to complete the argument I was beginning just before. If you're a family and you're overspending and you've got to cut down, well, there are 2 things you can do. One is you must sort out what you do lay your money out on and live within your income. But the other thing you can do is earn more. And what we believe in the Tory party is that if we could get rid of all the mismanagement of the Labour Party, if we could have a bit more competition, a little less government interference with the economy, a better productivity from our labour, we would produce more. And out of that, we could do more.
Well, of course, everybody, I think, is in favour of producing more. But did you discuss at the conference, did you compare, for instance, the production in this country today with the production before the war? Or did you compare the increase in productivity here in Britain during these past 3 or 4 years with the increase in the United States?
No, of course we didn't. Because, as I said a little while ago, the conference reflects the anxieties and the worries. And the conference does not reflect all the things for which are going reasonably well. And that is why the great emphasis of the conference was on the things that are going wrong.
Well, I'm very glad to hear that the production is going well. That was one of the subjects that was left out because it was going well, because there couldn't be any more important subject, surely, than the general increase in production. And particularly in view of your argument that this is one of the ways in which you could pay for the extra armaments.
I don't believe production is anything like what it might be. And that, I'm perfectly certain, is the belief of every manufacturer who's put in a lot of new machinery. You can go to one place of work after another in this country, and you will find that given the new machine tools, given the new techniques, as a matter of fact, productivity per man week here is not very good. It can be much better.
But isn't it a fact that productivity, although maybe you can go up further, but isn't it a fact that productivity in this country, according to the estimates made by the American Commission in this country, have productivity in Britain since 1946 has gone up here faster than in the United States?
Well, only in 1 or 2 industries.
No, taking all industries together. No, taking the whole lot.
I very much doubt it, except where you have industries that have converted from peace to war. Of course, in 1946, it's an absurd base year to take.
Ah, but you take the same base year for the United States.
Well, but
and this is what the Americans take. These are not my figures.
Yes,
these are the Americans.
The American 1946, quite different from ours, because they didn't have to switch off civilian production in the war. They didn't have the bombing and the reconversion and all the rest of it. We'd sunk to a very low point just after the war, and so naturally we've recovered. But if you compare our productivity today with the Americans before the war, they are, sorry to say, have done much better than us.
Oh, not, that's not what the Americans say. The American report Economic Commission in this country, sent back to the American Congress, says that our productivity has gone up steadily and rapidly, and that in fact it's gone up more than the Americans. Although I agree, they started from a higher base. But are there any other propositions for cuts that weren't announced at the conference but are now cropping up afterwards? We've got 2. One's food subsidies. The second is the health service. But what about the capital investment program? Are you going to slash that too?
We all know that there has been tremendous waste under the present government. Look at government publicity, $17 million. The losses on the groundnut scheme, $30 million. The civil servants travelling at $7 million a year. Why, if we were only to cut 5% of the national budget, we would save £181 million.
But you're not suggesting that you can pay for rearmament and the extra rearmament that you're proposing out of administrative economy.
Well,
particularly when they haven't been pointed out in the House of Commons.
Oh, yes, they have. All these matters have been pointed out time and time again in the House of Commons, and everybody knows that there are glaring examples of work being applied to the wrong products. And that, of course, was what was reflected.
Oh.
throughout the conference.
How are you going to
lack of confidence in the mismanagement of the present government?
How are you going to ensure that the production is done for the right commodities if you're not going to have some government controls to do it?
Of course you've got to have government controls. Nobody says you've got to have no government controls. It's a question of getting the priorities right.
And so the government is going to settle the priorities.
Well, the government gives the order. Gracious me, when it comes to weapons, who gives the orders? It's the man who gives the orders who decides what the shape of the production is. And as we found in the war, one of the easiest ways of maintaining full output from factories is to yourself to give the orders. Well, that's exactly what's going to happen. We hope that the government are going to give sufficient orders to get equipment that our forces require. At the moment, we rather doubt it, because we believe that the Labour Party don't want to injure the civilian standard of life anywhere unless they can get away with it somehow without any form of putting up the cost of living or making people unhappy.
Well, wouldn't you agree that there's got to be a very careful balance between the civilian requirements and the military requirements? It would have been theoretically quite possible for us to have kept under arms 5 million men at the end of the war. We would have many more divisions now, but we would have wrecked the economy. And therefore you've got to be very careful, surely, about making this decision.
Well, of course you have. Nobody disputes that. But the question is whether the right decisions are being made now. Because that is what is going to be reflected in what happens in 2 or 3 years' time.
Right. Well, I still haven't got any further advance on the food subsidies, the health service, and the alleged economies in some administrative departments.
Wasteful government administration.
Nothing else is going to be touched. Nothing more specific than the general charge.
No, it is not
possible. With any specified examples.
It's a perfectly ridiculous question to ask when one comes down to it. If you see a shop at the end of your street which is being very badly managed, and you feel, well, now that man's going bust anyway, and that's what we feel about the Labour Party management of the national economy, how can I say, if I'm going to take over that shop, just how I'm going to make both ends meet and turn a loss into a profit, until I get behind the counter, until I look at the books and I see how many new customers I can stimulate?
Yes. Why do you think we are going... Why does David Eccles or Martin Lindsay, why do you think that we are going bust when you've already admitted that the balance of payment situation was left out of account because that was going very well, that the production question was left out of account because that was not one of the questions on which the government had failed? Surely these are two very big tests. Why do you say we're going bust?
I think when I say we're going bust, what I mean is this, that we're not going to be able to fit in the rearmament program and keep prices steady if we go on as the Labour Party is managing our affairs. It is necessary to have, first of all, a list of priorities, and secondly, to get rid of the restrictive practices that are stopping the increase in production, and to make up our minds what comes first and go for it.
Well,
I think what Eccles has said is completely proved by the way that the fact that the cost of living has risen more in the 5 years of peace than it did in the 6 years of war.
Yes,
all the difficulties that war brings with it.
It's risen less here in this country than in many other countries of the world. But still, now I haven't had much success in extracting a detailed answer as to what sacrifices are going to be made to carry through this heavier rearmament program. But now let's look at another proposal that was made at the conference. Not for a suggestion of any cut, but for a suggestion of an enormous increase in civilian production. The question of housing.
Yeah, yes.
Now, I don't know what you'd like to say about the discussions at the conference on housing, but there was a resolution, I gather, passed at the conference, not formulated by the leaders of the party in the platform, but made in response to a clamour from the delegates or the representatives of the conference in favour of building 300,000 houses instead of roughly the 200,000 houses which we're building in this country at the present time. Now, what would you say about that? How are you going to do that?
Well, we're quite confident we can do it. We don't say we can do it in the first year, but we're quite confident we can build up in a very short space of time to 300,000 houses. The limiting factors, of course, are labour. Well, the present position is that labour is not being well employed. Too many builders now are building garages and greenhouses and so on because they can't get the licences to build the houses. A lot of unnecessary office building is going on. There's a colossal great colonial office going up opposite the Houses of Parliament. I had to go to Portsmouth last week, and what did I see in the middle of the main street but a great new Littlewoods? And that amount of building capacity should have been going into houses.
Are you saying that you should stop all building in the centres of blitz cities?
We should give complete priority to housing before Littlewoods and government offices and greenhouses and garages and so on. There's no doubt about
it. But I gather that...
Well, that covers labour. And I dare say David or Ivor would like to talk about timber, materials and...
Well, just to ask one question on that, first of all, I gather that the proposal at the conference was that you were going to sweep away the licensing system for building altogether.
No.
The only regulation was to be the maximum size of the house.
Yes, that's right.
Everything else is to go.
Up to a maximum so that people didn't build big houses. I think the real question that the Labour Party can't answer is this. There are the same number of men in the building industry today as there were in the 3 years before the war. In the 3 years before the war, the average number of houses built a year in this country was about 350,000. It is now just about a little under 200,000. Now, why is it that with an industry the same size, we get hardly more than half the output?
Well, I'm not answering questions here. I'm supposed to be putting them.
Well,
I'm quite prepared to answer it, of course. The houses that are being built for working people in this country at the present time, of course, first of all, they're much better houses than the ones that were built before the war.
Well, we wouldn't when take you that in the rural area.
Ah, but now what you're going to do, I understand, you're going to sweep away all the regulations for building better kind of houses. You're going to build worse kind of houses. And, of course, anybody can build more houses if you reduce the number of rooms in them, the number of amenities in them.
Oh, no, because it is proposed that we shall have a body to which all builders should be registered as the before they can get contracts, both private and public, and we will quite satisfied we can ensure that houses are built to a decent standard. But what we're not satisfied about is the government's excuses that they can't get more houses built because labour's difficult, because they say they can't get timber, when we know that timber is available in Canada and in...
You have to pay dollars for it.
All right, though. I know, but the fact is that at the present moment we're paying 10 times as many dollars on tobacco as to what we are in timber for houses.
So you're going to cut down the tobacco import? Did you announce that at the conference?
We're going to give priority, and if that is necessary to cut the tobacco expenditure down by 10% to provide the timber to give our people houses, because housing is the greatest...
Was that explained at the conference?
I don't think that timber buying from North America is nearly as important as
getting it from Sweden.
As getting it from the Baltic.
Yes.
If the Board of Trade, which now buys this timber on behalf of the country, were to stop buying the softwoods, and were to allow our ordinary merchants to get back at it, we shouldn't miss the market, as we've done several times.
And that, of course, was borne out by the working party with Michael Foot's socialist friends, one or two representatives on it, which said that when materials are in short supply, bulk buying tends to accentuate the shortage. And there's no doubt in our mind that if it wasn't for this ridiculous system of bulk buying, we could get the timber to build all the houses which are necessary.
Well, I think that's... I think that it's very easy to say you can buy timber easily. In fact, of course, what you'd have to do if you were going to carry out this program is to increase the capital investment program considerably, which would also entail further sacrifices, which are still not explained.
Not to increase it, to decrease it in what is less necessary and increase it in housing, because it's the greatest social problem of this country today, the question of homes for the people.
Take my own constituency. Now, I have rural districts. They are administrative districts in which there are about 10, 12,000 people. Now, in those districts, there are something like 400 or 500 families on each district's waiting list for houses. And the Minister of Health has just cut the number of houses which one district may build next year to 10, and he's reduced the other to nil.
Yes, of course, I think that one of the reasons, of course, is you've got to keep a balanced program and try and see that you don't start many more houses than you can finish. But I'm afraid that we'll have to finish now because we've reached pretty well the end of our time. But I think it's quite clear there were plenty of promises at the Conservative conference, but nobody knew how they were going to be carried out.
You've been listening to a discussion in the weekly series London Forum, recorded in a studio of the BBC. The speakers were David Eccles, Martin Lindsay, and Michael Foote. This is the British Broadcasting Corporation.